Tiger fans, welcome to the newest edition of Talking Tigers. This is your host, Wesley Burris, along with my co-host, Taylor Griggs. And this week, we'll be recapping that beatdown in Atlanta. Some big news that's come out earlier this week. We were a little late with this episode because I had a very early work day Tuesday morning at my new job. And I'm a little bit under the weather, so bear with me on this episode as well. I might lose my voice at some point. And if I sound a little weird right now, I do have a little dipsky in. So you might hear me spit here or there. Trying to give up the cig, so this has just been an all-around crazy week. Let's just start it off with the elephant in the room, Taylor. Everybody's been talking about the Kelly Bryant situation, quarterback situation up at Clemson. We were talking earlier. We didn't ever think it was a controversy, really.
I didn't.
You're right. I'm glad you corrected me on that. Because I thought they could have continued playing the way that they were and everything would be okay. And I know that I am in the large minority there when I say things like that. It just seemed to be working for the Tigers. And not to nitpick or ruffle any feathers, because there are several people that know that I'm not a Clemson fan. The competition in a couple of those games enabled you to get Trevor Lawrence a bunch of meaningful snaps, as well as the game against Georgia Tech, because let's face it, Clemson beat them up just as badly as they did Georgia Southern, in all honesty. I don't think the Yellow Jackets are near Clemson's level in terms of talent. I have said before to several of my Clemson buddies, their offense is a little antiquated and they've got some work to do. I think if they ran a more modern style of offense and recruited that area with a little bit more vigor, they could be a top team. They really could. But we'll get back into that in a second. Your thoughts on what happened with Dabo and Kelly Bryant? I mean, tell me what you think, honestly. Just go ahead and talk. Then I'll tell you what I think. I mean, I might butt in here or there, but I want to know what you think, because we haven't really discussed this amongst ourselves. Might as well record it.
I'll say what I've said to all my Clemson friends.
All right.
I don't see where Kelly Bryant did anything to warrant being benched.
You really believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
And, I mean, I know Trevor Lawrence is probably going to end up being a better quarterback.
All right.
By how he plays. I mean, but I don't think – I just didn't see what Kelly Bryant did wrong.
Okay.
If you didn't trust him, I mean, it's not like their schedule's that hard.
Okay, now you're nitpicking.
So why not just let him stay in and then keep kind of doing what you were doing, and then –
Well,
you
just said
a meaningful game.
You've been disputing me on doing what you're doing this whole time. We've been talking about it every episode of this. You've been saying that you don't like what they're doing.
I don't like it, but it was working.
Which is exactly why I would say that you continue to do it, because it's working. You don't agree with that?
Yeah.
You just did.
I know, but I just don't
know. You think, okay, so you're saying, just let Kelly keep playing. The thing is that I will say, is it seems like the offense at times has sputtered under Kelly Bryant. Now, I understand that there's different ways to look at this. There are some fans, we were discussing this a couple weeks ago, one of your buddies, it seems to think that it was just only, it was a matter of a couple weeks, and now it's happened in that couple of weeks that he has supplanted Kelly Bryant as the starter, because that's what he felt the majority of Clemson fans wanted. He himself being a Tiger fan. And not wanting that. So he was a Kelly Bryant backer. And yes, Kelly Bryant has had a lot of success, but there is a little something missing in the passing game. So I understand why they've made the move. I also completely understand why, with this new redshirt rule, that Bryant would go ahead and transfer. Because why would you sit there? Yeah, he's going to play, but why sit there and play out the rest of this season and not get to be the guy when you can go somewhere and be the guy? He could definitely go to a lesser team and make them way better. And I know you agree with that.
Yeah.
And I know you think he's a very talented quarterback, because he is. There's a ton of teams that would love to have him.
I've already seen that Auburn fans are trying to get him to come there. No. Arkansas.
Well, we'll see how all this well, my God, something bad's going on down there. And Morris is not.
They should have never got rid of my boy.
He's not clicking down there at all, which the team is not built to run what he runs, but I don't know,
never
man.
Got rid of
him. Wow, they're something else. But anyway, look, to make a long story short, because I don't want to spend too much time on this, just to give you my take, I completely understand why it's been done. I think everyone involved with the Tiger organization wishes it would gone down and have gone down a little bit differently. I don't see how anybody could say otherwise. I've seen a lot of stuff out there in social media. Basically, everybody's rallying around Trevor Lawrence, which is the right thing to do. Now, the one thing watching this Georgia Tech game that I noticed a little bit more is I don't think Lawrence's scrambling ability or outright running ability is near as potent as Bryant's, and that's one thing that will be missed with this Clemson offense. But here's another thing. He went like 13 of 18 in this game or something and threw four touchdowns. And, yeah, one of the throws I'll chalk up to just being almost lucky. But the rest of them were – wide-open guys, or not wide-open guys, but great throws into space, and one was a guy that had almost weight on the ball, it seemed like, on a busted coverage, which was a cover two where the safety just didn't get over in time, and that was Justin Ross, I believe, on that long touchdown. But that being said, Lawrence, to me, throws the ball on a line better. He's got a better arm. I don't think it's debatable at this point. I really don't. And I think – there is a little something that seemed to be missing at times with Bryant out there that maybe Lawrence brings. I don't know that Lawrence is the leader that Kelly Bryant was. I don't know what the locker room is going to do. I expect with all of the veteran leadership and talent that the Tigers have that it's not going to be a problem. They're going to rally around. And this guy's just had a bunch more touchdowns than Kelly has this year. So, long story short, they're going to miss the legs of Kelly Bryant, but they're going to have – more of a threat in the passing game. So probably overall, I think it's a good trade up. The one thing that I question in my way of thinking, if you continue to let Bryant start the game, play both of them as they had, I think Bryant was comfortable with that. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe I'm reading that the wrong way and he wasn't this whole time and there was some turmoil back, you know, in the locker room. That's possible. The way things have shaken down were stuff that they're trying to hide, and that's fine, you know, because If that is the case, then they've hidden it well and they've done it the right way. So I can't knock them for what they're doing. And I didn't like one of Dabo's comments about it. This is not middle school, you know, da da da. I didn't really like the way that came off, but I do understand completely. Bryant had his shot to be the only guy. He really did. And you were gonna get Lawrence out there. You knew when you had this schedule, when this came out, right? You knew against Furman, Trevor Lawrence is playing. We talked about that preseason. Tiger fans knew this. This is not news. You knew that against maybe not against A&M, but you knew that against Georgia Southern, he's going to get plenty of playing time. And then once you saw that the Jackets defense has seemingly fallen off a cliff in the last few weeks, yes, you know that he's going to get playing time there as well, especially with what he's been able to do already in the season. He didn't play poorly at A&M. You and I were talking here on that episode about how you said, what happened to Lawrence? He didn't play as much. Well, I think because the game was so tight and that Bryant was making a lot of plays and getting things done, the offense was sort of clicking. Then they bogged down late. But I think they bogged down late when they went conservative. And I think a lot of what has gone on is Bryant, to me, I'm not saying he can't throw, but you saw his numbers from last year. I think he only threw like 12 touchdowns. It might have been more. I hope I'm not selling him too short there. But he had like eight picks. So he was not a – when you're coming from Deshaun Watson, he was a big drop-off, even though you won really big because the defense got even better. Or, you know, if you know what I'm – you following me?
Yeah.
And the run game was strong with Kelly Bryant out there. But now you're – look, bottom line is Travis Etienne and Feaster are going to run on just about any kind of football team you throw out there in front of them. Clemson's offensive line, it may not be as good as some people would like it to be, it's still very, very serviceable and pretty damn good, in my opinion. I don't think they're bad. They've had some hiccups here or there. And I do think against a premium defensive line, they could have some struggles. Lawrence hasn't been out. He's been out there against a premium defensive line, in my mind, at Texas A&M, and taking nothing away from that ball game because Clemson won a hard-fought game on the road. Bama got A&M at home in front of a rowdy crowd. It was a different kind of – but that was a close game early, and Bama pulled away late. I really think Bama's on another level. We'll see as the season continues if they can maintain that. But Clemson's on a – they're a step above almost every other team as well because they're just going out here and spanking people. That defense is ferocious. We saw that. We've seen it week after week. So I think it's – while I don't know if it's the right move, that remains to be seen. I think they avoided trying to have a controversy and kind of created a controversy of that. Don't you agree with that? Kind of,
mm-hmm.
They've kind of made something that I didn't think was a problem has now possibly become a problem. So I know a buddy of mine was questioning, you know, what happens if Lawrence goes down? Excuse me, we might be in some trouble, but it all remains to be seen. I think the kid seems to move around well. Within the pocket, roll out well. He's got a laser arm. You know, he can make all the throws. I think he does throw a couple balls into traffic here or there. But for the most part, he has avoided mistakes, especially big mistakes. And I think he's going to be a tremendous quarterback going forward. So I think we can wrap that up. It remains to be seen where Brian will go. We'll hear that in the next few weeks. It's been all over. I didn't really want to talk about this, but it had to be talked about. So moving into the Georgia Tech game. What's your takeaway from that, because I can tell you, boy, the Tigers just jumped all over them in this one, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's about what
it's what both of us expected. We both said that they would cover the spread.
And I think that's what fans were wanting to see finally.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, I'm gonna recap the scoring here in this game. Clemson wins 49-21. That score is that's not even a telling tale. It's not. Because this was utter domination. Late in the first quarter with the scoreless game, you know, Cleveland Farrell, he returns a fumble in the end zone on that crazy-ass play. I think, was it Wilkins that disrupted that play and forced a fumble? I might be wrong, and I can't really remember. And Farrell ends up falling on it. They go up 7-0. To start the second quarter with 9 minutes, 11 seconds left in the half, Hunter Renfrow catches a 17-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence, the first of four touchdown passes by the new signal caller. Greg Hugel makes the kick to make it 14-0. Justin Ross on a big 53-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence with 7 minutes and 5 seconds left in the half to go up 21-0. Taquan Marshall plunges in from 11 yards out, cut it to 21-7, and then the Tigers come back in a little over 2 minutes, and Travis Etienne gets a 3-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence to go up 28-7 at the half. Now, we were talking earlier, if you're in the stands there, you're a Tech fan, usually what I say if my team's down that bad at half, I'm like, all right, I'm going to give this a couple of drives. We got to come out and show some kind of life, and if we don't, I'm just going to go drink a beer. There's no reason to sit in there and sweat and dread the rest of a ball game. Go out and try to salvage your night and have a good time. Well, Clemson comes out the gate in the second half, swinging. Tavion Feaster, 27-yard run. Hugel makes the kick, go up 35-7 with 12:20 left in the third. And with 5:10 left in the third, Travis Etienne with a 3-yard run. Greg Hugel makes the kick. It's now 42-7. You mentioned to me you'd have been gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to at that point. There's some people that sit in there the whole game. I'm not that guy, and you can say I'm not a real fan all you want. Guys, there's better stuff I have to do than watch my team lose by 35 points. There really is. With a minute 43 left in the third, Nathan Cottrell had a 2-yard run, and Sean Davis made the kick to cut the lead to 42-14, give the Jackets just a glimmer of hope. Clinton Lynch then scores with 6 minutes left in the game, 5-yard pass from Tobias Oliver to cut it to 42-21, and then just to rub salt in the wounds, the Tigers put the starters back out there, and T. Higgins with a 30-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence to win 49-21. I don't think they're really trying to run up the score. I honestly just – I don't really know what they were trying to do. Maybe they were, and it is what it is. They went and spanked the Yellow Jackets in Atlanta. I don't think it was ever in doubt, in my mind at least, and many people's mind, including yours, that this was going to be a big win for the Tigers. We both – I think – our prediction, I can't remember what yours was. I think I said something like 38-13 or something like that. I don't know. Either way, they covered the spread, which ended up dropping down to 16. So a little action on Georgia Tech before the game, leading up right under the game. And the over-under was 54, so Clemson almost went over by themselves. Jackets helped them out late to get that over. So if you guys wagered on Clemson and over, it's a good day for you guys, especially if you're a Tiger fan. So you want to run through some stats for this game? All right. You go ahead and do some stats for this game, and we'll get into their opponent next week because this is a big, big revenge game coming up this week, and I really don't know what to think about it.
So I'll do Georgia Tech first.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Taquan Marshall passing went 1 for 6, 29 yards. Tobias Oliver went 2 for 2, 28 yards and a touchdown.
Start him.
Taquan Marshall, 25 yards. No, 25 attempts.
There you go.
47 yards, 1 touchdown. Tobias Oliver, 9 attempts, 34 yards. Jordan Mason, 4 rushes for 30 yards. Jerry Howard, 10 rushes for 18 yards. And Nate Cottrell,
whatever.
2 attempts, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. Receiving. Now, this is going to take a while.
This really is. Because
they have a few guys here.
Yeah.
Clinton Lynch had 3 receptions for 57 yards and a touchdown.
He was the only guy to catch a ball.
Yes.
I can believe that.
So, on to Clemson. Trevor Lawrence, 13 for 18, 176 yards, 4 touchdowns and a pick. Kelly Bryant went 6 for 10, 56 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Travis Etienne rushed 11 times for 122 yards and 1 touchdown. Feaster, 5 attempts at 75 yards, 1 touchdown. Lawrence rushed 2 times for 11 yards. Bryant rushed 4 times for 5 yards.
That's the thing I want to throw this out there because I saw this a few times in this game. And to Dabo and the coaching staff's credit for making this move, there's several times where Bryant this season, instead of just making the throw or, you know, rolling out and maybe taking that easy 4 or 5 yard gain, he's like scrambled around and he's done some things that I didn't really see him do last year, like, you know, turn your back on a play or something like that, that you see a younger, more inexperienced quarterback do that has that scrambling ability. That really bothers me sometimes, and I see where they could maybe go back to film, and there were times where I don't think he looked as crisp as he did last year. I think against Texas A&M in the first 3 quarters of that ball game, he did look as good or better than he did last season. And I can see where they would pick out things here or there and say, okay, well, they're looking at footwork and maybe things that I'm not picking up on. Again, everybody on that coaching staff is more football savvy than I am. So I can sit here and say whatever I want. You can listen to Talking Heads on ESPN or wherever you'd like, and they're going to give their opinion. And I think most guys – have been positive about this move. I'm not trying to come on here and be negative by any means at all. I'm just trying to offer you maybe a little bit different take than other people would give you because I do think, and I still do, that you can play 2 quarterbacks and win, and I think that they could because they have so much damn talent, Taylor. They really do. When your defense is that good and you've got 2 good quarterbacks like that bring a different dimension, it could work. But I do understand there has to be something else going on. Not that it's anything negative, but maybe it was best. I could see Bryant pouting or something like that. I'm not saying he did, but I could see that happening, and that could have a negative effect on other guys. So finish up stats. I'm sorry I went on.
Amari Rodgers had 6 receptions for 60 yards. No touchdowns.
I'm trying to find this shit on the arms.
Justin Ross had 1 reception, 53 yards and 1 touchdown. T. Higgins, 1 reception, 30 yards, 1 touchdown. Renfro, 3 receptions, 28 yards, 1 touchdown. Etienne had 1 reception for 3 yards and a touchdown.
All right, so let's go ahead and move into the matchup this weekend against the Orange of Syracuse, who are 4-0 this season, Taylor, and have been whipping some ass. They had a crazy game to open the season against Western Michigan, a back-and-forth affair where I think at one point they were up by like 35, and Western Michigan scored 2 or 3 times in a row. They had to bring the starters back out.
That's always good.
What?
When you got to bring your starters back out.
No, that's not good for them. But it's good for you. If you're watching that game, it was probably entertaining to watch.
Sarcasm.
I know that. The first game, Eric Dungy, who Clemson fans will know, is just a wild man. He does not care about his body.
He is the son of Tony Dungy.
He is not the son of Donnie Dungy. But he plays like a maniac. He runs around crazily, throws the ball off his back foot. Very entertaining, very good quarterback. Takes a bunch of big hits. Actually got knocked out of the game against Florida State. And it didn't matter because they just whipped the Seminoles' ass that Saturday afternoon. And that was – we watched part of that game in during Hurricane Florence over at Little D's Restaurant, which has a bunch of Clemson Tiger stuff going on in there, a big bench out front with the Tiger paws on it. Check it out over in Florence. What is that, Pampico Highway?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. If you head that way, they have a wing buffet a couple times a week, I believe, which is why we went over there. They opened in the hurricane, and we went and partook. And they had some games on. They got TVs in there. It's a nice little place. I like it. Dungy in the first game went 7 of 17 with two touchdowns. I can't remember the yardage I told you. Doesn't matter. 15 rushes in that game for 200 yards and a touchdown. Wow. And he will take off in an instant. Their offensive line played pretty poorly against Clemson last year, but it didn't seem to matter because this kid would just chunk it down the field. They had Clemson's number last year, and Bryant being banged up didn't help the cause. And Clemson had some self-inflicted wounds in that game, turned the ball over, didn't get anything going on offense for several drives, allowed Syracuse to hang around, and it was a back-and-forth battle. It was a hell of a football game, and I enjoyed it, you know, being that I am a Gamecock fan. I enjoyed watching that win for Syracuse. And that was a Friday night game, which I'm sure that most of you guys know. Dabo's not going to play any Friday night home games in Death Valley. I completely understand why you would not do so. This is a nooner come Saturday. So getting back into the stats, in the second game, 23 of 32 passing. How many yards? I don't – God dang it. Why didn't I write that down? I was telling you. Anyway, he had five touchdowns passing and one pick, and he had 44 yards on the ground in the third game against Florida State, 75 passing yards, 33 rushing yards before he was knocked out. And last week in the rout of Connecticut, 21 of 27 for 286, two touchdowns, 16 carries for 77 yards, three touchdowns, which tied his own record that he set with five touchdowns in a game. And for the season, despite pretty much missing a whole ball game against Florida State, well, about three quarters, 763 passing yards, nine touchdowns and one pick, 354 yards rushing, four touchdowns. He is a threat. He's a serious he's a gamer, I will say. He's one of those guys in Dino Babers offense, which they throw to the side a lot. Clemson's going to have to be very, very disciplined in the flats. And they throw a lot of quick passes. They're going to have to – they almost force you to play man-to-man because in a zone defense, if you're not getting pressure with four, which Clemson can do, they can do and did last year, the guy's going to pick you apart because he's a hell of a quarterback. This guy's tough. He's physical. He's not scared to come run into anybody, which, I mean, look, I anticipate in this game he's going to get banged up, but I've seen him limp and still go out there and run and make plays. The guy is a gamer. He really is. I think any team would be fortunate to have Eric Dungy as their quarterback. He makes a mistake here or there, and he sometimes gets errant with his passes. But you know what? For the majority of the time, he's about a 60% plus completion percentage guy, and he has wheels and serious speed. This is not just a guy that's out there that can get you, you know, 4 or 5 yards when you need it running in a straight line. Oh, no. He can scramble, spin. He'll jump over you. He's wild to watch if you've never watched him. I'm sure all you guys have. In the backfield, they have a guy named Mo Neal, pretty solid guy. 116 yards last week against Connecticut. Mo Neal.
Neal. Yes. I was waiting for a last name.
No, that's it. It's Mo okay. Neal. That's his
I got
name.
That now.
Okay, well, he's their starting tailback. And these guys are going to go spread. This is Dino Babers' offense he brought over from Bowling Green. Like I said, they throw to the flats a lot, bubble screens, a lot of slants, and they go deep with it. They did it against Clemson several times last year. They're not scared to sling it 45 times a game if they have to, but I'm sure they'd love to run the ball. Going to be home. Rushing yards are going to be at a premium against the Tigers on Saturday. Now, one thing I want to get into real quick, Taylor, before we talk about the keys to the game for Clemson and – the line on this game, I just mentioned to you earlier, was open at 21, has already been bet up to 25.5. What's your thoughts about that really quickly? Because I'm sure you haven't watched Syracuse play.
No,
well,
I
you
sure
watched
them
against Florida State. A little bit of it.
I mean,
just thoughts on
from
the
what they beat Georgia Tech by.
You think they beat Syracuse? You think they cover 4 touchdowns?
Oh no, I'm gonna give you my prediction at the end.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Well, I think the keys to the game for Clemson are pretty simple. I think, you know, you throw Trevor Lawrence out there. Now he's going to have the full complement of the. Not that he didn't run all the plays before, but now he's coming in as the starter. The game plan is going to probably be a little different, I would think. He's going to throw the ball more than he has in the past, I would assume. I would expect to see him, if you're going to take Bryant's reps and his reps and you're going to just throw Lawrence out there as your guy, I would expect him to throw at least 25 to 35 times in this ball game, maybe a few more or less here and there. But I think 25 to 35 makes sense, so we'll round that off and average it in the middle there. 30 times I think he throws the ball. If he can go out there and go 20 of 30 or better, then I think – and not turn it over, then I think that – and I think the Tigers are going to have a good day offensively. I don't think that Clemson's going to have a problem scoring points in this game the way they did last year. I don't see that happening. This is at home. This is revenge. This is not in a hostile indoor environment, weird, strange environment on a weird night. This is in Death Valley. You know, it's a noon game, so the fans aren't as in it as they are at night. And I know a lot of people get upset with that. I know I would. But I do think, and sometimes I've always said, I think the away team has an advantage at noon because they're a little more amped up. The other guys, they might be a little too much in their comfort zone or whatever. I always feel like the away team is a little more prepared to play in these noon games. Not going to matter when you face the Tigers. They're just too talented. I think if Clemson executes, their ETN cannot be stopped. That not yet anyway. I haven't seen anybody. I don't assume that Syracuse is going to do so. I really think it, bottom line is this. Syracuse has played inferior competition. Connecticut is not a good football team. They beat them by 30. Connecticut is not good. They beat Florida State in the dirt 30-7. Florida State was anemic the entire ball game. Florida State is not a good football team, bottom line. Virginia Tech, who destroyed Florida State, even losing their quarterback, they just lost to Old Dominion by double digits last week as a 28-point favorite. They lost by 14. Now, I don't give a damn if your starting quarterback goes out. Old Dominion lost to Liberty 52-10. They lost to Charlotte, who has not even played a close game against anybody yet this year. Old Dominion is not good. Now, they found a quarterback the other day against Virginia Tech, and he played well against the Hokie D. But I think everything I've seen so far, Florida State is a bad football team. I just believe that. So, that being said, I'm not going to give Syracuse as much credit for their win over Florida State. I think Clemson is vastly superior. Keys to the game, again, run the ball. Minimize.
Run it.
Roll out.
Throw it.
No.
Score touchdowns.
Run the ball and minimize the amount of
possessions.
For the other team. But, yeah. But at the same time, sort of minimize the pressure on Trevor Lawrence to have to – after all of this week, all of this stuff, don't make it about him. Don't force him. You need to be able to run the ball to not force him to have to go out there and throw it 45 times to win, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think Clemson's going to be okay. They have more talent than Syracuse all day long. Do they cover? We'll get into that. I'm going to give you my prediction of this game. I do not think Syracuse can stop Clemson in any way, shape, or form from scoring at least in the 30s. There's no way. And I don't think Clemson gives up more than maybe 2 or 3 scores. I do think Syracuse will be able to move the ball on them. I do. Maybe not consistently the entire game, but I do think they will get some scores. I'm going to throw – I think Syracuse covers late. And I think this is
backdoor.
Yes, what you would call a backdoor. I could see this being something like, I don't know. I think Syracuse is going to be very hyped to play this game. They're 4-0. Clemson's 4-0. If you're going to make me do it, I'm going to say 47.
Wow.
Clemson 47, Syracuse 24. They're going to win by 23. They're not going to cover the number.
27.
Wow.
24. Syracuse.
I bet. Huh?
Syracuse.
You're going to call an upset. Are you trying to make everybody that listens to this podcast mad?
No, I'm just calling what I feel.
You're calling an upset.
Yes.
In Death Valley.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I want to say I did watch Taylor Griggs eat about 4 Valium earlier, so maybe that's what has caused this. Whatever. I do think Syracuse, when I say they cover late, I think it's a close game early. I think Clemson pulls away, asserts their dominance, and Syracuse gets another touchdown or so, 10 points or so late to cover the number. I think it's far and away Clemson's a better football team. I think revenge is on the mind. I know that Venables is just hammering them in the film room. I just really know that. And I feel like there was really no passing threat in the entire football game against Syracuse last year. Bryant was having an off game. He went down while he wasn't in the game. Hunter Johnson was not getting anything done. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think Lawrence has a big day. I think he's successful his first game as the true starter. And 47-24, I should say. I'll get it right in a second. 47-24 Clemson is my prediction. All right, so I do predict Syracuse to get the cover. I will not be wagering my money on that by any means. But that's going to pretty much wrap it up this week. I think that the Tigers are going to move through this week of turmoil and go back on. God almighty, Freddie hit that foul ball hard. Anyway, got a little Bravos in the background, as is tradition on our podcast. Through our days here. So, you got anything else you want to say since you've just managed to open your mouth some on this episode and piss all the Tiger fans off, and all of them are going to quit listening to the show? I'm not that I'm sitting here just drooling over them, trying to make them feel good. I honestly believe Clemson's going to dominate this football game.
I just call things.
I don't
like
think
I
Syracuse is for real. So maybe they are. Maybe they'll surprise me. But, you know, you said what it is, 27-24 Syracuse, huh?
Yep.
So you would bet your hard-earned money.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you just – so you did say it just to ruffle feathers.
No.
Well, I see how that's going to go.
I would bet anyway, the game either way.
Anyway, Tiger Nation, thanks for listening. We enjoy bringing you this podcast. Next week we're going to recap this game, preview the next one, same old format. Hopefully I'll be able to talk a little bit more. Maybe we'll go in a little more in-depth. My voice is really hurting, and I've struggled to get through this. So thanks for listening to your buddies here at Win or Die Sports. We enjoy bringing you the content that we do. We do have another podcast called Inside the Lines, which is a gambling podcast that will be coming out probably tonight or tomorrow as well. We're going to try to rush through it, where we go over the week's top games and whatnot and give you our thoughts on the spreads. I had a pretty good week last week, and Taylor almost ran the table on his picks, so he did pretty good as well. So give that a listen if you want to. Inside the Lines, this is going to be under the same banner that this one is on Apple Podcasts. And we thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week sometime, probably Monday instead of Wednesday next week. Thanks, guys.
And now, it's the song that shakes the Southland. Tiger Ride!